Hey everyone, my name is Josh, and thanks for checking out one of our sermons today. We are so glad that you're here, and we want to connect with you and your family. The easiest way to do that is to text River Church to 97,000. There you can ask questions, submit prayer requests, and even support the River Church financially. At the end of the day, we just want to connect with you and your family and be a blessing any way that we can. You could also visit our website at theriverchurch.cc to learn more about us and what we have going on as a church. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope you are blessed by today's message.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Roy Townsend. I'm the Grow Pastor here at the River. It's my privilege to be here with you today. I get to travel around to all the locations and give the pastors a break. So I didn't say Chuck needed a break. I'm just here to give him a break, all right? But we are really privileged that you are here with us today. For those of you that call the River Church home, know about our year-end giving initiative where we were short in the budget and we wanted to take a moment to give a report to you. We challenged the church to have 1,000 people give $100, and we had 906 people have participated so far in that, and we've raised $147,000, a little over $147,000. So we are really appreciative to the church and want to give God all the praise and the glory for providing people who call the River Church home who felt led to give. It was our goal that we have 1,000 people participate. So I just want you to know it is still available to the end of the year if you want to participate and be part of that group of 1,000 people to raise the money to meet that deficit that we had in our budget. But I want to take that opportunity to thank you, those of you who have participated, and we'll get going here on the sermon. We're going to be in John chapter 11 this morning. John chapter 11. As we are concluding December, we really stopped to reflect. I know that some of you say, do you reflect? I'm not a New Year's resolution guy. I mean, you can probably tell by my size that that doesn't work for me. All right, but I do love to take the opportunity to reflect. I take the opportunity to think. And honestly, as I was reflecting on when Pastor Chuck asked me to preach today, I was reflecting on this location and the beautiful things that we've seen God doing here and the people that God is drawing to this location. It's just been beautiful. But I want to let you know it's also a little bit scary because there's a lot of people. And when you have a lot of people, there's a lot of need. And I don't know. That's what this sermon about today. So it's to try to encourage us, challenge us, that we don't miss the opportunity that we've been given by not being prepared for the people that the Lord is giving us. That we don't miss the opportunity or miss the message of the scripture and the message of the word of God. And how easy it is for us to miss it. We'll see it frequently here in the story that I'm telling in chapter, that I'm reciting in John chapter 11. But it's funny how we miss it, right? For those of you who have children, you might empathize with me for just a moment. I have two teenage children and one adult child who's still at the house. And I say, hey, this package right here. You see this package? I need you guys to do this with it. And I take the package and I put it right in front of the door, the only door that you exit the house. The door opens in. So it is impossible to walk past this item that I've asked them. I don't want them to miss it, right? I want to make it easy that they wouldn't miss it. And so they very kindly, they go to the door. Oh, the door doesn't open. Oh, Dad left a package here. And they pick up the package and they nicely set it over here against the wall so nobody trips on it. But yet, they missed it. This morning, my children were making fun of me a little bit, or my family was laughing because I finished the sermon last night. I put it in the Bible. I did everything I was supposed to do. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to Grand Blanc. I don't want to forget my Bible, right? So I took the Bible and I put my keys to my car on top of the Bible, right? So that I wouldn't forget to bring my message. I'm sure you had a Bible here, but I wouldn't want to forget my message, right? We do all sorts of things. I teach a class at the church, and I know it's at Waterford, so maybe it has something to do with Waterford. But I type a lesson, and everybody wants the lesson. Like, can I get a lesson? Can I get a lesson? So I type it up, and literally I put a chair in front of the door to the room that I'm speaking in. A chair. You have to walk around. And I put the lessons that look the same every week, just different words, but they look the same. A pile of them, like 100 of them, on the chair. I'll walk in from the gathering, late from the gathering, boom, get it, want to teach. And somebody says, where's the lesson? It was at 8 o'clock this morning. It was sitting in the chair that you walked by, right? Because you don't want to miss it. A buddy of mine was pulling out of a gas station the other day at the corner of Dixie Highway and Williams Lake Road. This is me really telling on myself. And there's a gas station there. There's been a gas station there my entire life. And it's a mobile gas station. And I saw my buddy pulling out of this gas station in his big green camouflage truck with a 20-foot antenna on the side of it. So I know it's my buddy who has a green camouflage pickup Bronco with a 20-foot antenna on the side. My buddy. So I go, ooh, you're getting that expensive gas at the mobile gas station. What's up with you? You know, you're not at Sam's with me. And he goes, I don't buy mobile gas. I buy Shell gas. And I go, I saw you pulling out of the gas station at Dixie Highway and Williams Lake Road. Okay, I'm sorry, you know. He's like, yeah, so what? He goes, that's a Shell gas station. I have already driven by this gas station once today. One of my six times that I normally drive by this gas station, I have driven by this gas station my entire life. And so I get in my car with my phone and I'm going to go take a picture of the gas station. So I can prove to him that he does buy mobile gas, because I drive by this gas station every day. I've already driven by it on the way here. And as I went to take the picture, it's a Shell gas station. I drive by it every day. Now, in my defense, for the first 45 years that it was a gas station, it was a mobile gas station. And all they did to it was put a Shell sign on the outside. It looks the same. It doesn't look any different than it's always looked. But it is super easy for us to miss opportunities. It is super easy for us, when we're searching the scriptures, to focus on one aspect and miss another aspect. So I want to challenge us today. I want to encourage us today that we do not miss the scripture, that we do not miss the opportunities that the Lord has blessed us with. So let's go to John chapter 11. John chapter 11, starting in verse 1. It says, now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, he whom thou love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness will not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now, as we start a gospel message, when we start to read from the scripture, John makes it super clear in the book of John as to why he is recording this miracle story for us to read. He says very clearly the purpose of writing this isn't to write everything that Jesus did, because I didn't write everything that Jesus did, but I wrote this so that you will believe that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus is the Son of God, and that by believing you will have life in his name. That is what John says, why he wrote the book of John. So we now know that, and we go back to he's recording this story, and it sounds like a beautiful story. Somebody's sick, and they're sending word for Jesus, and the person who is sick is somebody whom Jesus loved. He was close to. He's ill. So let's pick up in verse 5. Let's see what the Lord does. Verse 5, it says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Well, that sounds weird. Then, after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews who were just now seeking to stone you, are you going there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him. Now again, this sounds strange. Like the first four verses, I got it. Somebody's sick, they sent word. We're all accustomed to this. But then in verse 5, he says he really loves them, and then he stays there longer. 2 days longer. I don't know about you, but when my family members call and they're in the hospital, I don't wait 2 days. When I get the call as a pastor and they say somebody's dying, I don't wait 2 days. My family's from Eastern Kentucky where the roads are not straight. It's terrible to be down there and they say, oh, somebody's sick, they're dying, they're in the hospital. That hospital's an hour away on these roads that are not straight. They got a nice helicopter ride. It was real straight for them to get to the hospital, but it was not straight for us to get to the hospital. And I could be as sick as a dog getting to the hospital because the roads are so curvy. It seems strange that the Lord would say, let's wait a couple days. It also seems strange that his disciples, who he's discipling, who are walking with him, living with him, seeing him every day, speaking to him every day, they're like, hey, time out, Jesus. Just in the chapter before this, chapter 10, they tried to kill you. They picked up stones to take your life. Why would you go back there? So we can see over and over again in this scripture here that people are missing the point of what is happening. They're not understanding. Jesus gives a very clear answer at verses 9 and 10 where he says, listen, if you walk by the day, you have the light. If you walk at night, you're going to stumble, which is a way of him saying, listen, guys, my time is not up. I'm supposed to be working, doing my Father's business. We're in the daylight right now, boys. Nobody can get to me right now. But there will be a day when the darkness will come and I will be handed over to the evil of this world. And so Jesus made it very clear. We can walk because it's daytime. We can do what we need to do because God the Father has told me what to do. One of the commentators that I enjoy reading, he says, the time appointed for the Lord by God the Father for working, that time had not elapsed yet. So as long as that time lasts, no one can do anything to the Lord. But when that time has come to an end, Christ shall fall into the hands of his enemies. So let's pick up again in verse 11. After saying these things, he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him. Now you and I, it's real easy. Like, wait a second, we know Lazarus is dying or he is dead already, right? But it's just funny to me how comical it is that the disciples who are sitting right there, who are seeing all these things happening and all these things play out, their answer is in verse 12. The disciples said to him, Lord, if he's fallen asleep, he will recover. That means, Lord, if he's sleeping, he's just taking a nap. He's going to wake up. We still don't want to go to Judea where they're going to try to kill us. We don't understand why you would want to be. You already said this wouldn't end in death. What is the deal, right? Everyone is just missing it. You can just see the story playing out. Now, it's a little easier for us looking at it backwards. Verse 13, now Jesus had spoken of his death, Lazarus' death. But they thought he meant taking a rest in sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died. And for your sake, I'm glad that I wasn't there so that you may believe. But let us go to him because Lazarus has died. So Thomas, who's known as Doubting Thomas, also called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Now you can see a picture there. I think Thomas gets a bad rap by being the doubter who says, I'll believe when I can touch the resurrection. I can touch the holes in your hands, right in your arms. He's like, he fully intends to die, to go with Jesus back to Judea so that Jesus can try to get to Lazarus, who has already died. They missed it. The question I have for us sometimes, are we missing it or have we missed it? Verse 17. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Wow. "But even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give to you. God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again, Martha." And Martha says, "Yeah, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And if everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this, Martha?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ. I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you are the one who is coming into the world." Now, Jesus arrives at the four-day mark. Now, when you study this historically, the Jews believed that a body's soul hung around for a few days. And so Jesus coming at day four is important so that there wasn't another explanation for the miracle that we know is going to happen here. You say, "Well, that seems kind of harsh." Well, he said so that God will receive the glory, so that the Son of Man will receive the glory for what is going to happen. So the Jews involved wanted to make sure that they couldn't claim, well, the soul just decided to get back into the body. 4 days had passed. And not only 4 days had passed, we'll see in the storyline here, she references that the body is going to stink. I mean, the King James says it a little better. It says, "He stinketh." Right? In the English version that we're reading, it's just going to say there's going to be an odor. That is not harsh enough. He's been dead 4 days. He stinks. It's going to be bad. Okay? So again, Jesus is setting up so that the world can see. Martha says she believes, but she doesn't understand the situation correctly. She has missed the point. To anyone who can hear my voice today, we gather as a church body. We want to make sure that you hear this clearly. Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. We want to make sure that we say this plainly, boldly, and directly. We get criticized about this all the time. They say, "Why would you preach the gospel when the church gathers? Why would you preach the gospel when you go visit the people in jail? Why would you preach the gospel when you give people food every other week? Why would you preach the gospel when you give people clothing? Why would you preach the gospel when you have an Easter egg hunt? Why would you preach the gospel?" Why not? Why wouldn't we? It's the gospel that brings life. We don't know who's here today. One of the biggest mistakes a pastor can make to go into the pulpit and not share the gospel. How do I know who's here today and needs to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ? It needs to be clearly, directly, and boldly taught. And I love that criticism. I love it. Because it means that people are hearing it and understanding it and seeing it. That we clearly present the gospel. And as Christ presented the gospel right here in this story, it said, "Hey, I am the resurrection." Verse 25 said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live." It means if you and I come to believe who Jesus Christ is as the Savior, and we come to understand this, that even though we're going to die on this earth, we're going to live. We're going to live forever with him. And it's something we take very seriously. Romans 5:8 says, "But God showed his love in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Now, Jesus is talking to Martha here, he hadn't died yet. And she kind of knew that you're coming into the world for this purpose. But he says it very clearly that he is the resurrection and the life. Some people say, "What is it a big deal? Because we're sinners." Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We don't want to falsify this. We don't want to water it down. We don't want to corporately take it for granted. We don't want you to miss it. So we pause and we clearly state it. Jesus Christ is the Savior. He died for our sins. He made it very clear here in the Gospels. It makes it very clear here to Martha. So picking up in verse 28, it says, When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw that Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Jesus' disciples missed it. Martha missed it. Now Mary misses it. "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come also weeping, he was deeply moved in the spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." When Jesus got to the tomb of Lazarus, it says that Jesus wept. So the Jews, verse 36, so the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying?" So now the Jews who were there consoling the sisters, they missed it. Verse 38, then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days." You and I all have smelled something dead before, right? We understand this. We understand how heavy that is, how terrible that smell is. I get a lot of grief. I have disposable gloves and work gloves and hand sanitizer. I don't mind work, but I want a set of gloves on. Okay? I don't mind getting down to business and getting some work done, but I really don't love getting my hands extra dirty. My first job was a preschool janitor when I was 18 years old. You know what I'm talking about, kids, preschoolers, right? They're the nastiest things on this planet. They're just nasty. They're dirty. And so I'm always cleaning. They're always, you know, making things funky and all this stuff. And they say, "We want you to wax this floor." So I wax the floor. I'm high-speed buffing the floor. I mean, I'm shining it. I mean, it's going to burn your eyeballs when the sun gets to the evening time. Like, it's just going to shine off this floor. I got this floor looking perfect. There ain't nothing dirty on this floor. I'm having a great day. Everything's coming together. And this little four-year-old boy runs out of a classroom, and he looks at me. And normally, he would yell my name, "Mr. Roy, Mr. Roy," you know. And we'd do something crazy. And he comes out, and he looks at me, and he doesn't say anything. And all of a sudden, he starts pointing to his mouth. He's like 150 feet away from me. I'm like, "Oh, what is he doing? His son is in my eyes off this floor. You know, what is going on?" And all of a sudden, he starts running and he's pointing at his mouth. And I realize, "Oh, he's going to puke on my floor." I've just worked so hard on this. This is not happening. And I start running toward this kid. I grab this kid. I tuck him like a football. I take my hand, put it right over his mouth. And I turn and we go running for that bathroom, right? We kick the door in the bathroom and I take his little body. And I cannot believe what came out of this kid. I'm telling you what. Now, I had contained it, but it was everywhere. And then I realized, oh, I put my hand over his mouth. Ooh, that stuff was getting on my hand. Right, I got the plague. Right, ooh. And so I can empathize with a person who doesn't really love getting their hands dirty. We don't want to miss the opportunity that the Lord has given us. But when I look at this church and see all of the people that have been coming and the growth over this last year, guys, I have to encourage you, we're going to have to get our hands dirty. More people means more trouble. More people means more need. More people means more mentoring, more discipling, more teaching, more help. And we can't just sit back, keeping my hands clean. You know, we have to be careful. And we're going to see here in the story that's recorded for us in John 11. We know that there's an odor. Now, he tells Martha to take the stone away, knowing fully well Martha can't remove the stone. For those of you that don't know, if you want to look it up in history, 2,000 to 4,000 pounds. It's in a groove. It rolls down in front of the tomb. Two adult men could probably put it in place. No way two men can remove it from place. You got gravity working against you. You got the hill working against you. Everything's working against you. The only way that that happens is that the people that hear Jesus say this, the disciples, the believers, the followers, the church, for them to roll that stone away. People tell me all the time, Roy, I want to see a miracle in my life. Do you want to get your hands dirty? I'm not saying that God can't provide a miracle, but I know that he gives us in his word. Our actions are important. And the disciplines, the spiritual disciplines that we have are important. And people say all the time, I just want to see God move. Get your hands dirty. You'll see God move. Care about people. Love people. Help people. Teach people. Mentor people. Disciple people. You will see the Lord move. Well, I'm busy. Picking up in verse 40. Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they might believe that you sent me. He's clearly giving this storyline for the good of those. Now, how many of you believe that Jesus needed Martha's help? Could Jesus, think about this for just a second, indulge me, I know I'm being silly a little bit. Could Jesus have blown the stone away? Could Jesus have called angels from heaven and remove the stone? Could he call fire and brimstone to blow that stone away? Could he have thought it away? Could he have snapped his fingers? Could he have Darth Vader'd it away? Yes. But he didn't do that. He tells those who are there, hey, you, roll the stone away. I'm going to do something. The glory will be given to God the Father. Roll the stone away. It's not an ask. It's a command. Take it away. Verse 43. When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. Now, because I'm weird and I like these things, when I studied this, Lazarus would have been wrapped in about 80 pounds of linen that had been soaked in oils to try to reduce the stench of his dying body, decaying body. He would have been laid out like on a bed, and it would have been wrapped tightly. If his eyes could work, there would have been a napkin. The King James makes a very big deal of the napkin being over top of the eyes, and it would have been wrapped. So how does a guy get up like that? It's a miracle. How does he come out of the tomb? It's a miracle. How is he alive? It's a miracle. So Jesus Christ raises from, I don't know if he levitates out. I like to believe that he levitated out. It would be really cool. I really hope I'm right. Okay? That he just levitates right on out and everybody freaks out, right? Gives God the glory for what is happening here. I would love that. But then, after Lazarus comes out, Jesus tells everyone there to unbind him. Ew, I could roll the stone away. We have no indication that there's a sani clean there. We have no indication here that Jesus had a big can of Lysol and Lysol'd him up before he told the people to put their hands on the nasty grave clothes for a body that had been decaying for 4 days. But yet, he tells them to unbind him. See, we have to be careful, church, when the Lord commands us to do something for his glory, we have to be careful that we don't become just a hearer of the word, but we become a doer of the word. That's the danger when a bunch of people come and they hear. Because we don't want to be just hearers, but we hear so that we can go do. We don't want to miss the opportunity that the Lord is providing. We don't want to miss what the scripture is teaching. We don't want to miss where the scripture is pointing us. James 1:22 says, "But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." I hear that the church is the most judgmental place on the planet. Maybe some of you have felt that, seen that, observed that. Where we tell people, when you get your junk together, then you can come to church. When you look how you're supposed to look, then you can come to church. Nothing could be more gross. That's not what the Lord said. It's not what we see the Lord, how the Lord lived when he was on the planet. He said, "Roll the stone away, boys. Hey, those of you, unbind him. Take the grave clothes off. He was dead and he's been brought to life. Just like for you and I, we were once dead and now we are alive in Jesus Christ. And thank the Lord that there was somebody in your life, somebody in my life who preached and taught and discipled and pushed and loved and helped me. Helped you. But yet now we want to tell ourselves we're too busy to do that for others. The grave clothes, as far as a symbol, are a symbol of the sin that binds us. And the Lord brings us to life and he removes that. We're no longer a slave to sin. But there's also this concept that those of us that are part of the body of Christ together, this is how we are to live. Helping one another by unbinding the things that bind each other up. Rolling away stones and getting our hands dirty. You will see the Lord move. He didn't say sit on your duff till you see the Lord move. And we see this throughout. Somebody said, where you get this from? The Jews that didn't walk across the Red Sea died. The Jews that didn't get up in the morning to go get the food that the Lord had provided when he told him to get it, they went hungry. How did the walls of Jericho come tumbling down? By the Lord's power. But the Jews were told to do something. Walk around. On the seventh day, walk around seven times. The walls come tumbling down. Every time we look in Scripture, the Lord's moving. He has prompted us to not only be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. Verse 44, and the man who had died came out. Don't know how that happened. His hands and feet bound with linen straps, his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. I could just see some of us like, hey, Jesus, can you just like unbind that? You know, you just raised him out of the dead, you know, and just had him come out of the tomb. It'd really be helpful if you just get that stuff off him. It's kind of gross. Get him all cleaned up before we send him to church. Let's get his life in order before we send him to church. Gross. Wrong. The church is to be a hospital for the sick. It's not a club. It is a hospital for the sick. We don't want to miss the opportunity. We see the Lord moving. We see many people coming. We see this location growing. We don't want to miss the opportunity, church. We can't miss the opportunity. What's holding us back, church? Do you want to see a miracle? Roll the stone away. Whatever that means to you, stop and reflect and consider. Now, many of you are very involved. I'm not trying to heap something up on you who are very involved. Many of us are not really doing a lot. That's who I'm speaking to when it comes to this aspect. There's new people coming and we need help. And we want to be that hospital for the sick. We want to roll stones away. We want to unbind the grave clothes. We want to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Our faith requires action. Next month, as we hear about reaching and gathering and growing and giving and serving, I wanted this kind of to be in the back of our minds. I feel the Spirit prompted me to mention this, to encourage this, to ask you to consider this. That we're going to have to get our hands dirty. We're going to have to unwrap grave clothes. We're going to have to put our faith in action. As I close, I'm available up front here if anybody would like to pray. If you want to pray about accepting Christ, or you have questions about who Christ is, I'll be up here in the front. You can also stop by our guest services desk. Anybody with a lanyard? If you want to pray about how to get involved, I'm not really involved. I want to hear what you have to say. I'd love to talk to you about getting involved and how you can help the church body serve and love others. If anybody here needs to pray or talk, please come forward or go to guest services. Will you stand with me as I close in prayer? Lord, we come before you today. Lord, we are excited to be in your together with one another as we've gathered on the Lord's Day. We're excited to hear your word. We're excited to sing together. Lord, we are thankful for those who watch our children, who keep us safe, who greet us, who help lead us in worship. Lord, I pray for those of us that need to consider, those of us that need to examine, those of us that need to move from being a hearer to a doer, Lord, I pray that the Spirit would move in them. Lord, I pray that we would not miss this opportunity that you've given us. Lord, I pray that we would not miss the opportunity to understand the Scriptures, that we would dive deep into the Scriptures, we would dive deep into being the church body and loving each other as you have called us to love each other and lift one another up. Lord, I pray that for those that don't know you, that they would not leave today, that they would not miss what the Scripture says. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Lord, I pray that we would be equipped with the answers through the Spirit. We love you, Lord. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.